All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. 10-minute podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Movie the Podcast. It's the real Sex Havers episode of the show. It's just me and Alec. We got your constant emails about the show being too soy and beta. So we made an executive decision. And we cast away the soy beta cucks that were Sean and Gogs. And now you have the true alphas, Alec and myself, the real sex havers. We've had sex. It's pretty great. Would recommend. And we hate movies. We
Yes.
suck. Movies are fucking terrible. But yeah, no, Sean and no Gogs. Because they're too busy being soy, and that's what they do. They're drinking their. Do people even drink soy milk anymore? Is that a thing? I never hear anybody talk about soy. It's all almond milk and oat milk these days. Soy milk is like out of date.
I love oat milk.
Yeah, oat milk rocks. No, I like oat milk.
Oat milk is the best for cereal.
And there's some commercial I keep seeing for pea milk, but it's just too funny to ever buy.
Yeah.
It's
No,
what's this milk made from? It's made from peas.
they got all kinds of milks. It's kind of ridiculous. It's like a battle now to see who can get the most weird milk.
I'm still fan of the almond milk. I will say,
Almond milk's good. I don't know that
I like the oat milk, but I always if I buy anything, it's the almond milk. But I generally don't buy that either because I don't really use it for very much. So.
Yeah, I pretty much exclusively use milk and cereal, and that's it. I have been on a bit of a chocolate milk kick lately.
Oh, look at you. What's
I
your
know.
are you a syrup guy or a powder guy? We
Oh,
really
syrup.
are. We're really are a
Syrup.
pod. We're a real podcast now. We're talking about the real issues. Chocolate milk.
Syrup. Always
Yes.
syrup.
Syrup is the way to go. When I was growing up, we always had the fucking powder, and I feel like no matter how many times you stir that bitch, you'd always get one big chunk of that fucking
Yeah,
powder.
the click clump of you put the powder in, pour it, cover it with 16 ounces of milk,
It's
and it
still.
still would somehow create a bubble of powder on itself.
Yeah,
Ugh.
it's crazy. But anyway, our milk drinking habits notwithstanding, we watched 1990 Joel Schumacher classic question mark Flatliners, which is a movie that like I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. I want to love this movie because it's so fucking weird, but it is so fucking like incoherent at times, I thought, and just
I
kind of there.
remember I saw this movie when I was probably right around, I don't know, when like I was 12
Yeah, we were
maybe.
kids when this came out. Yeah.
And like I remember this movie being like super creepy and like
Same.
scary. This movie
Same.
is not either of those. It's really stupid.
Well, what's funny is that like you know how when you Google a movie and like they instantly like put in like related films? The next related film on this was Jacob's Ladder, and I was like, how dare you? Like they classify this as a psychological horror movie, and I guess like it could be scary in theory if like the main things that were supposed to scare you weren't little children, which I'm sorry aren't scary at all. Like I just like honestly, most of the scenes that I guess people found disturbing, I just found kind of hilarious. Like Kiefer Sutherland being beaten to shit by like a 10-year-old boy
A
is
ten
not
year old
scary.
ghost boy.
Yeah, it's not scary. It's hilarious. Like he's like spitting on him and shit and hitting him with bats. Like that shit's like it's like slapstick almost. But anyway, we'll get into that here momentarily. What did you watch this last week, my friend? Besides this country spiraling into oblivion.
Oh yeah, it's pretty awful to watch.
Oh yeah, it's
People
not
who
this.
thought things couldn't get worse,
Yeah, this
you
is
should
not
have just
fun.
waited around.
This is the opposite of fun. This is real bad, and it's only been 2 fucking weeks. So yeah, hopefully the internet's around by Thursday when I upload this. But who knows at this point? Who knows?
Yeah. I only watched one thing.
Wow. It's going to be a quick show.
Yeah. I watched a movie. It just came out. I think I've talked about it in the past. We, if you go to Premiere online, it's an Amazon website.
Okay.
And periodically they just give like free tickets to see some of their movies like in the theaters.
Oh, that's cool.
And like, we went to the AMC up in White Marsh and we saw the movie. You get a free like small popcorn and small soda. Oh, and all you awesome. Do is like RSVP for tickets and be there. Make sure you're one of the
I need to sign up for this. That sounds cool.
The problem is you can't sign up for it. And they don't like tell you, you just have to check.
Oh, I see.
They don't tell you something's coming out. Like Stacy, I think it was last like Monday. Was like, oh, something popped up on here. Do you want to go? We went Wednesday night. All you do is RSVP tickets and show up early because like any amount of people can RSVP tickets. Like it can oversell and then they'll turn people away.
They don't assign you a seat like when you reserve.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
But it's really neat.
Yeah, that's awesome. We saw, that sounds fucking awesome.
We saw that Candy Cane Lane movie last year doing this. We saw the premieres of Reacher and that Mr. and Mrs. Smith show that Amazon put out.
Oh,
we
that's
saw
sick.
both of those.
Do you have to fill thing. Out do you have to fill out like a questionnaire when you get done or anything like that?
No. It's really like I don't really understand the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to fill anything out. There's just when you leave, like some of the other ones, they've had like tables set up, but you still don't have to fill anything out. You just tell them what you think. This time, there's just a woman standing there, like playing on her phone, leaning against the wall as people come up, saying, "Hey, what'd you think?" That like, but it's really neat. That's like it's a free movie in a theater with a popcorn and soda. Like, even if it's not bad, it's still
it's a free night out. Something. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty sick.
No, but
it's called Premiere.
Prime Premiere.
All right, I'll look into that.
But we went and saw, they have a new movie that just came out called, hang on, You're Cordially Invited.
Oh, Will Ferrell, and I forget the actress. They've been advertising that pretty hard on their TikTok.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon, yes.
And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's the premise seems like a PG comedy, but it is R, and it is like raunchy isn't the word. It's not like gross out comedy, but like they're dropping F bombs and insulting each other like the whole time through.
I'm for that. I feel like you don't really get a whole lot of Will Ferrell and like raunchy comedies. I mean, I guess back in the early 2000s, like he kind of was, but he's kind of gotten away from that. I mean, comedies have kind of gotten away from that period.
So. Yeah. But I thought it was a lot of fun. It's not perfect. And it's basically the premise is Will Ferrell, his daughter is getting married and Reese Witherspoon's sister is getting married. Mm-hmm. And they both book the same venue, the same weekend due to a series of mishaps. It's a place that can only fit one wedding at a time because it's so small, but they both get double booked there. And it's a lot of fun. It's really funny. It was written and directed, and I keep forgetting to look up because I know he's done other stuff, by Nicholas Stoller.
Name doesn't ring any bells. Nicholas Stoller.
Oh, he,
Are you already looking it up?
Yeah. He directed this. He directed Bros, which I thought was fun.
Yeah, I need to watch that. You said that was pretty good. I need to watch that. I like Billy Eichner a lot, so.
Yeah, he directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, hell yeah.
Both of the Neighbors movies with Seth Rogen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This guy's got a pretty good pedigree. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is like kind of underrated in my opinion. That movie's hilarious.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. And he's written a lot of stuff. Oh, he wrote Zoolander 2. That's not good.
Yeah, everybody needs a paycheck.
But he's credited as the writer on the Muppets movie, and that movie's like one of my like top 15 movies of all time. Like I love that movie.
Don't ever watch the second one though. God, that
I didn't, bad. And I won't.
The first one's so good. The first one's a fucking banger. But man, that second one, woof.
Yeah, so he's got a pretty good pedigree. But yeah, he wrote it and directed it. Nice. Oh, I did watch another movie. I just didn't write it down. That just reminded me of it.
That means you watched two things?
Oh, yeah. I would definitely recommend You're Cordially Invited. And now it's on Prime.
Yeah, I didn't even know it had like any kind of theatrical run, because I thought it was just a Prime original or whatever.
Well, when we saw it Wednesday night, and then it debuted on Prime Thursday. So I don't know if they're just trying to get some like early
buzz.
Early thing that can capture some like.
Let's be honest,
people and put it online.
They were like, wait a minute. You're Alec from Movie the Podcast, Alec. Sir, let me get you right into the screening, please.
Well, I'll show you right to your seat.
You're not that dickhead that doesn't like any mainstream movies, right? No, not that guy.
No, you like everything normal, right? Oh, you'll love it. Right.
You're not a pretentious asshole. Please, sir, let me get you the finest seat we have in the house.
But no, I would say I recommend it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I'm all for it, because I feel like in the last I don't ever watch comedies anymore. Like, and it's not because I don't want to. It's just I feel like they just don't come out, and the ones that they do, I'm not really interested.
They don't make just like stupid, pointless comedies anymore.
Yeah,
everything I feel like either has to be shoehorned into being like too clever for itself.
Yes.
Or it has to be like super deep or have a message underlying. Like this is stupid.
I will throw in one more. There's another one you missed, I think. It's a comedy, but it's an action comedy. And it's Red One or some bullshit where it's like there's jokes in it, but it's like sandwiched into like a fucking Marvel movie.
It's still just meant to make The Rock look awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough of that.
The other thing I watched, totally forgot I watched it. We watched it two nights ago. It's another, I believe, Amazon movie, My Old Ass.
Oh, yeah, with Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Without spoiling it, did they address the fact that she looks nothing like her younger self? Is that addressed? You can just say yes or no. Because when I saw the trailer, I was like, those two actors, I don't mean to sound like fucking Gogs here and Black Hood's daughter, but like those two actors don't look anything alike.
No. Well, no. I mean, they address it a little bit. They're like, when she first shows up, the other one girl's like, you look nothing like me. And she's like, yeah, I'm you in like 20 plus years. Like my hair is different. They address it a little bit, I guess.
But anyway, I heard a lot of good things about that movie, actually. People are generally pretty positive about it.
So, have you seen the trailer? You've seen the trailers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I saw the trailer a long time ago. That was one of those, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show, but that was one of those trailers that, for whatever reason, like, it got sandwiched in front of, like, so many movies that I saw.
So, based on the trailer, what type of movie do you think it would be?
I thought that it was like a coming of age, like quirky comedy kind of thing. That's what I assumed from the trailer.
Me too.
Yeah, right. That's what it looks like.
It's not very comedy-y.
Oh, okay.
It's a comedy drama, and it's a lot more on the drama than the comedy. Like, really? From the trailers that I saw, it made it seem like it was going to be a lot more slapstick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way
there's a little bit of that when they first like meet, but then it kind of goes away, and it's the coming of age part is true, but it's not really super funny. Like, there's funny moments. It's just not like hilarious. It's not bad. It's just not what I expected based on what I thought I was getting from the trailer. I thought I was getting like a really funny Aubrey Plaza movie.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I feel like they probably sold it wrong, it sounds like, because the trailer did not, I mean, the trailer made it seem like it was kind of a goofy comedy.
Literally all the goofy comedy parts are in the trailer. Like, there's a few more jokes that are funny besides that, but like the goofiest parts are in the trailer, which makes you leads you to think that that's what it's kind of going to be.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Like, it's not like, what's that movie? Fast Food Nation, like, the trailer misled me. Like, yeah. It's like a 1,000,000% a totally different movie than what the trailer made it seem like.
Yeah.
That
movie is like, where are the jokes? And then you watch, what's his name? Fez from That 70s Show get his arm like cut off in like a meat processor or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Where's the jokes?
Yeah. They were like, oh, people liked Thank You for Smoking. Let's market it like that, even though it's nothing like that at all.
Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. I just remember, like, I saw that fucking movie in the theater. Can you imagine? And there's a part in that movie where Bruce Willis is like, he works for like, I don't know, one of the food processing companies. And he's like, this burger's got a little shit in it. You taste a little shit. And like the audience, I think, was expecting it to be a comedy. And this one guy was just like trying to laugh at the joke. It was pretty funny. He was like laughing, kind of giggling, but like nobody else was laughing. And it's like, I was like, don't worry, buddy. I understand. You thought this was supposed to be funny and it's just not funny at all. Fast Food Nation. Richard Linklater, one of his duds, I'd say.
Oh, definitely. But I think it's still worth a watch. It's still fine. It's still good. It's just not what it's marketed as. Sure. The dude in it. Did you watch Wednesday?
I watched. Yeah, I didn't finish it. I'm like, I don't. Whatever reason, the TJ thing of almost finishing a show but never finishing it, not because I didn't enjoy it, I just I don't know, I never finished the last like two episodes, but yes, I watched it.
The male lead from it is the male lead from Wednesday, her like love interest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that guy,
but he's since been like me too'd.
Oh, no, so, I don't like that guy. That guy sucks.
They cut him out of, like, he's just apparently just not in season two of Wednesday. Like, I don't know how they're gonna explain it away, because he was like
they'll do the same thing they did in Beetlejuice 2, where they killed the pedophile. They'll just kill him off. They'll be like, he's dead. He's dead now. He went back to his home planet. Speaking of Wednesday, real quick, if I can a quick side note. You watched it, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday's friend, that like blonde haired girl. If they ever make a fucking Spider-Gwen movie, you have to cast that girl. She looks looks exactly like she does in Into the Spider-Verse. It looks like they like took, it looks like they modeled her after that actress. Like, she's like perfect.
Yeah.
But anyway. Also, maybe, make a fucking live action Gwen Spider-Gwen movie. That shit would be banging. That would be like,
that's the kind of Spider-Man spinoffs they need to make.
It would make a bazillion dollars.
Raven the Hunter. I still haven't watched. I haven't watched the second or third Venom movie.
So the funny thing is that Craven movie, I don't know if I put it on the Plex or not, but I was like, there's no discretion with me putting stuff on the Plex. And that movie, I was like, do I really want to put this on there?
A bridge too far.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I feel like the reason I don't think I put it on there is because, like, if I put it on there, I'm going to find some reason to watch it on the show. And I really don't want to watch any more of those Sony-verse movies. After Madam Web, I'm like, I'm done. No Moss. Like, I don't know if I can take any more. Maybe if they do Morbius 2. I don't know. We'll see.
Still Morbin.
Remember when that was a meme for like 3 weeks? And
And these dipshits convinced the dipshits at Sony to re-release it.
I mean, not for nothing, that is like one of the funniest things that happened on the internet. Like, Sony saw people making fun of the movie and getting Morbius tattoos, and they're like, oh, people really love the movie. And it's like, no, they like to make fun of it, you idiots. Like, nobody wants to see the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is one of the funniest goddamn things as far as like Hollywood executives go. It's like the one that killed me this year. We haven't talked about it because I'm not watching the fucking movie. That Robbie Williams biopic where he's a monkey and they spent like $200 million on it. And I forget who, I'm going to say Lionsgate, but I'm probably wrong. I don't know. Whoever distributed it in America, they spent like 50 some million dollars to get the license to distribute it. Who wants this movie? First of all, nobody in England watched the fucking movie where that guy's famous, and they put it over here where, like, nobody knows who the fuck Robbie Williams is. And they're like, man, why did this bomb? It's like, are you kidding? Like, I don't understand. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what these fucking, like, these fucking executives that make these movies that, remember, they're supposed to make money. Like, at the end of the day, movies are supposed to make money. Yeah,
the whole point is to make a current profit.
But, like, who thought that was a good idea? Like, I just don't understand. Like, it does, or really, going back to the Sony-verse, like, on paper, none of those sound like winning ideas. You know what I mean? Like, it, or to go back to something we talked about a while back, to fucking just delete the fucking Batgirl movie and not just dump it on one of your streaming services.
Yeah, like you've released so much garbage.
Yeah.
Before that and since.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Why in the world wouldn't you have just dumped that somewhere? Like, it cannot be that bad. It can't be worse than, not that it's the same studio, but it can't be worse than Madam Web or Morbius.
I bet you it
was better than if your thought process is, well, we don't want to release a movie with that kind of stink on it. Like, okay, DCU.
You put out The Flash, for Christ's sake. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, come on.
You haven't done that already, you absolute dildos.
I just, like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in these, like, executive meetings. Because, like, they literally just don't make any fucking sense. Like, I'm sorry. Like, well, it's not like...
Some of them, like, I'm sure, I mean... You get young Hollywood execs too that you would think would be more in touch, but so many of them, I'm sure, are these old guys that just see, like, hey, my grandkids showed me this Morbin time meme. Right. Let's jump on this and re-release it. And nobody has the balls to be like, no, no, no. 75-year-old.
I mean, that's gotta be what it is. I don't know. Like, I think, like, nowadays I feel like I see these headlines, and I mean, we all see them, you know, if we were on social media or whatever, and these ideas come out and you're just like, who asked for that? Like, who is like, yeah, that's a good idea. And it's not like Morbius was like a fucking Blumhouse movie, right? Like, Blumhouse, I get, because Blumhouse doesn't spend any fucking money on their movie. Like, Night Swim probably turned a profit, even though it's like a huge piece of shit. It probably cost $10 to make. Like, Blumhouse, despite their quality of most of their films, they're a model I understand completely, right? Like, spend no money on, like, these fucking, you know, know nothing fucking horror movies, and then it is raking the money. But these, like, Warner Brothers and Sony, these executives that are spending like $200 million,
$300 million.
I mean, honestly, in my budget, $200 million is pretty substantial. But no, they're spending $200-300 million on these movies that, like, no one thinks is going to succeed. Like Borderlands. Like, you looked at that trailer and you're like, yeah, it's going to be horrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one was like,
yeah,
hey, this might work. Also, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Pause real quick. I'm pausing myself. Gogs just logged in to play video games. Like, he couldn't go on the show. He's too busy to do the show, but he can play video games. I see how it is, Gogs. Okay. Gogs. Hey, Gogs, there's an invisible on your fucking Steam, so I wouldn't see that, you fucking douchebag. Anyway, all right, anyway. I'm sorry, Alec. My old ass, good, worth watching at least, or just not what you were expecting?
Yeah, I'd say it's good and it's worth a watch. It's just...
That's fair.
It's not what I was promised, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad.
Is it streaming anywhere?
Yeah, it's on Prime. It's a Prime original.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well, since Gogs is too busy playing Midnight Suns, good game, by the way. Everybody hated it, but I think it's a very good game. I heard
that thing was terrible.
Now, here's the thing. The gameplay in that game is fucking awesome. The glue that holds that game together, like the storyline, and, like, the in-between mission stuff is really bad. But, like, the actual missions and the way that game is set up is, like, tons of fun. Like, I love it. It's like a It's hard to explain. It's like a role-playing game meets like a strategy game. It's interesting. I really, really liked it a lot. And if you can, like, it's one of those games that's like heavily discounted now. Like, if you can get it on sale from like the PlayStation Store for like $5, buy it.
I think I've legit seen it.
Yeah,
I think it's like on dirt cheap. What's the PlayStation Marketplace thing?
Yeah, the PlayStation Store. PSN. No,
the other thing. The subscription service.
Oh, whatever they call it, PS Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's on there too.
Yeah, download it. I think you'd like it. It's interesting. Like, again, I wouldn't spend $60 on it, but it's like definitely worth like a couple of dollars. And it's you get to play a lot of different like superheroes. It's interesting. It's very fun.
I thought that the artwork on the cover was cool. All the
yeah,
the characters
they're like evil Midnight eyes.
Sun's uniforms, yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
It's a fun game, and you unlock costume. Like, it's all the usual superhero game stuff, but I don't know. I liked it. I just like the problem is that in between missions, it's got like a social game to it. So like you go talk to Blade and he's like doing exercise and you're like, what's wrong, Blade? And it's like, that part kind of sucks, but like, man, the in-between stuff or the actual missions are fucking badass. Like the way the game plays is a lot of fun. If you've ever
before we get to what you watch, remember?
Yeah,
I know you remember. But we need to, they need to remake X-Men Legends. Put that shit out for the PS5.
Remake X-Men Legends or make another fucking Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Shit was the best.
Dude,
I remember we used to play Ultimate Alliance for like half a day. Like we
did there just so much fun
playing like me, you and Gogs for like hours.
It was so much fun. That Ultimate Alliance, I think it was 2. And remember, like, we were so excited because we kept unlocking new characters. It was like, holy shit, they're in the game.
I think it was you figured out or looked up like the cheat codes to like unlock all the uniforms. Unlock
everybody, yeah.
And we were doing like Age of Apocalypse and like shit like that. I was like, oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah, that shit was fucking awesome. Yeah, make another Ultimate Alliance. I think they made one that came to Switch that wasn't very good, but make a fourth one. Make it for real systems. Take that, Nintendo.
I was telling Stacy the other day, she showed me some Red Note. We're off TikTok. Yeah. We're on Red Note now.
Hell yeah.
We're pro Chinese. At the Aaron's house. Are you on Red Note?
I have the app. I haven't really fucked with it that much.
It's pretty great. And China looks nothing like what we've been led to believe for our entire lives what China looks like.
How shocking.
Not that every country can't just put their best foot forward if they were actually
of course.
Like actually monitoring and filtering stuff. But China looks fucking incredible.
I mean, we both know somebody that lived in China extensively for years and he's got nothing but good things to say about it. So you remember Doug?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he lived in China for like 5 or 6 years. He loved it. He said it was fucking great. The fuck, I learned Chinese.
But she showed me this video on there and it was some guy playing Guitar Hero. But on like, you remember that, I know you remember it, that was it, the Donkey Kong game we used to have downstairs that had like the flat top?
Oh yeah.
It was like that.
You're talking about the tabletop, like old 80s tabletop arcade game.
Yeah, it was like that, but it was like Guitar Hero, and you could play it just by hitting the things. They're using their cat's feet to hit all the notes. I can't remember what song it was, but they were like absolutely crushing it. Sounds amazing. I was like, this reminds me of when we got Rock Band. We were playing Rock Band in the whole house for like hours. And I was explaining everything to her about how we got it and like set it up and played for like days. And she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
like nerds. And I was like, well, yeah.
We were nerds.
We were nerds.
Still are nerds. Like, yeah.
It was a fucking blast. I was like, Gogs took the day off to propose to his wife. And during that, he went and bought the game for us and set it up.
And then we all came
home and played video game, played Rock Band for hours. And after he proposed, he came over and played with us.
You had to be there because fucking our Rock Band setup at our house was like this, the like it was like the centerpiece of so many parties that we had at that house too. Everybody wanted to play because we had the whole band set up. It was fucking awesome.
And I never want to hear More Than a Feeling by Boston again.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We play that song every time it turned on. You had to play that first and we would just be like, ugh.
It was a little much. Yeah. Good times, a simpler time.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to get sidetracked. Not that there's anybody, not that we don't have anything, but like
we have tons and tons of time.
What'd you watch, TJ?
I only watched one thing this week. I get in this malaise after football season's over. I mean, it's over for me, you know. I don't really care. I don't really give a shit about the Super Bowl. And, you know, baseball season's not for a while. So I'm just like, eh. And I don't really feel like doing anything. So I just played a lot of video games. But I did watch one movie because I felt bad that I didn't have anything to talk about. I watched the new Shudder original, Grafted. And let me tell you, I love Shudder. And we've talked on this channel endlessly about how much we love Shudder. And it's still a wonderful service. And they still have a great catalog of movies to watch. But man, the last like handful of Shudder originals I've watched have really like fallen off a cliff. I mean, these are the people that gave us VFW and Psycho Goreman, and like those movies are fantastic. And Watcher, which is a great movie. This Grafted, man, it's so disappointing because it looks really interesting. And I'll tell you what, it starts great. The intro sequence is so well done, and I was like in. Like it grabbed my attention right away. So the movie is about this Chinese girl who's got this birth defect on her face, like a scar, like this huge like birth scar on her face. And the movie opens.
Is it actually gross, or is it like the one in Ready Player One?
No, it's not like
the one. It's just like a small mark.
I mean, it's still not horrendous, but it's bad. It's noticeable. But so the movie starts out with her as a little girl. And she's talking to her dad, and her dad's like, I'm going to make everybody beautiful. Like her dad is like this mad scientist that's trying to basically create like this like living skin or whatever. And he like all mad scientists, he like tries it on himself, and the skin, like it like grows over his, he's also has a birthmark. It grows over his birthmark, but it like continues to grow like over his face. And like, he like is like running to the kitchen and he's trying to find a knife and he keeps cutting his fucking where his mouth is because it's all fleshed over. He keeps cutting his mouth and it just keeps growing over it. And then eventually like the daughter is trying to cut. Eventually he's just like stabbed to death. And that's how the movie opens. And I'm like, okay, like that was fucking tough as hell. And then the movie just kind of goes nowhere. Like she grows up. She except some kind of college program in New Zealand. So this movie is kind of
Kiwi.
This movie is kind of funny because you get to deal with the hilarious New Zealand accents, which I've said on this show many, many, many times. I can't take those accents seriously. Like if you can just talk in a New Zealand accent and I'm going to laugh. Like it's just it's a fun accent and it always makes me think of Taika Waititi. And I just find that.
Boy, accent. Mate. I got to take some time off work. My mom died.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it's just always funny. But anyway, so she takes some like science program in New Zealand at a college, and then she's going to further her father's research or whatever. And she's very, you know, she's very shy and she's very to herself. And again, she has this birthmark on her face. So she wears this scarf. And then everyone's mean to her because, you know, it's, you know, she's the new kid and everybody's fucking mean. And then she eventually like works with her professor and she ends up like figuring out the secret to getting this skin graft thing to work. But then that's when the movie kind of goes off the rails because the main character is so innocent and sweet and her motivations are so pure that like the movie, like she just ends up like murdering a bunch of people because she has to use like human skin to fucking to make her experiments work. And basically what happens in the movie is she ends up just wearing the victims that she's killed their faces. And I'll give the movie one little bit of credit, which I thought was kind of cool. So the lead actress, I don't know if this is prosthetic or this is honestly how she is, but her front teeth are a little fucked up, not like majorly fucked up, but like her one tooth is kind of more protruding than the other, her front teeth. So like when she's wearing other people's faces, like the teeth show up, but nobody notices because, and like, yeah, her voice doesn't match, but that they don't really address that, which is kind of a problem. But my biggest issue with this movie is that like all the people are mean to her, and you know, she is again basically innocent. And then by the end of the movie, she's just like killing people left and right. And it's just like, this doesn't really work. Like, I don't understand who I'm supposed to feel bad for. Like the bully, the New Zealand bully girl that literally almost kills her. Like why? Like, I don't know. It like fell apart. Like it felt like they wrote like two quarters of a script and were like, I don't know, just fucking punch it out. Like it just, and it, and like at times it's trying to be like gross out and funny, but that doesn't really work. I don't know. It just seemed like a mess. Like I really wanted to like the movie, but it just, it went nowhere. I would not recommend it. I was not a fan. I was really disappointed because like I said, the beginning was great. And it just really falls downhill from there. And then the ending is like kind of gross and cool, but it doesn't really earn it. Like, I don't know. It could have been so much more. This is a movie that's screaming for like another draft. Cause I feel like there's a good idea in here. It's just not what was put on film. So yeah, that's all I watched. Oh, I also watched RoboCop. You might've heard of that movie. Also, did you know that you watch The Boys, right?
Yeah.
You know that senator on The Boys that makes people's heads explode?
Yes.
So Huey dates her in real life. I didn't know that. Look at that. Good for him. Cool. She's very attractive.
You know, I'm not big on most horror movies, but I'm really interested in that new movie with him, with like,
oh yeah,
sex robot that becomes like self-aware. That looks interesting.
Oh, that's the premise of that movie?
I think so. I think it's like,
oh, so, you're talking about Companion, right?
Yeah.
Oh fuck, I didn't know that was like, the premise.
In the one little scene in the trailer, it shows somebody like increasing her intellect from like 20 to 90 or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't know, cuz in the trailer, all the trailers I've seen, it's like very, very fast. And it's just that actress's name is Sophie Thatcher. I'm a big fan of her. She was in that movie Heretic that I didn't really care for. I thought she was good in it. She's also in Yellow Jackets, which is like a pretty decent show.
I haven't seen that.
Yellow Jackets is good. The second season, not so much. First season's great, but she's great. I think she's fantastic. And every trailer I've seen is like 2 seconds of her and she's just covered in blood and that's like it. So I didn't know it was about a right now. I want to see it even more.
Yeah. Real quick before we get into Flatliners, I listened to a podcast.
What? How dare you?
I know. we've talked about it before. Me and Gogs both listened to it. It's called Films to be Buried With.
Yeah.
And it's Brett Goldstein. And one of the most recent episodes, he interviewed Lee Whannell.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and it's a really fame. Yeah, Upgrade fame. I knew he did Upgrade and some other stuff. I didn't realize he was the original Saw guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like he was the one who came up with that. Yep. And like as insufferable as I find those movies, and like I don't give a shit about Saw. Like I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
Listening to him talk about it is really neat.
Yeah.
Listening to him talk about like the inception of how he came up with the idea and stuff.
Did he talk about Upgrade at all?
A little bit. The guy, the host was like, I love Upgrade. And he went on this tangent where he's talking about some studio exec loved Upgrade and like called him into his office. And he thought they were going to talk about like Upgrade. Whoever his agent or whatever set up the meeting said he loved Upgrade. And he got there and the guy like didn't talk about Upgrade at all.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, did he really like it? And the host is like, Upgrade fucking rocks. It's like an incredible movie. But the guy liked Upgrade so much, he brought him into that meeting to talk about what he would do with the Invisible Man. And that's how he got the Invisible Man, which also fucking rocks.
Oh, he made that. I didn't know he made that movie. That movie's great. Yeah. He made the Wolfman that just came out too, right? Isn't that him?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I want to because I like a bunch of the stuff he's done. But
yeah, my only interest in that movie is because he was involved. So yeah, I'll check it out at some point.
But yeah, he seems like a cool guy. So the whole thing with Saw, I don't know if you know anything about it. I really didn't. But he said that him and James Wan, who or used to be like partners, basically.
Yeah.
He said they're not partners anymore, but it's not anything like bad. They just went different ways. James Wan went into Fast and the Furious, and Lee right. Whannell kept doing Blumhouse stuff. But he said they had this idea for like years, and they had to figure out how to make the movie on like a, I think he said like a $5,000 budget for sets. And that's how they decided to keep it just in one
That's pretty brilliant.
Room the whole time. They were like, spend all any money we have on actors, keep the set in one room, then we don't have to move, we don't have to get different cameras, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. And I was like, that's pretty brilliant. Yeah. Anthony should have taken a page from that from Midday of the Dead.
Yeah.
Filmed it all in one room.
Yeah. Anthony. I mean, like I've always said with Saw, especially that first one, that's a movie where like I love the premise. I just hate the editing and like, I mean, obviously I'm wrong because that movie went on to make a gazillion dollars, but
yeah. But it's a cool interview and it's only like an hour long.
You have to check it out.
You should check out that podcast. It's neat listening to people that you like and like the arts talk about the movies that they like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, I don't listen to every episode because some of these people, I have no idea who they are. He's a British guy, so a lot of them are British celebrities that, like, I don't necessarily have any clue who they are.
Robbie
Williams. I don't know if he's been on there. I've heard of Robbie Williams, but I could not name a Robbie Williams song.
You don't remember the song Millennial?
No.
That came out in 2000? Oh, yeah.
I remember Willennium.
Hell much yeah. Better. Of course you do.
Well, I guess now we have to talk about Flatliners.
Goggs is in here, so I'm not gonna I pulled up a
Wikipedia
synopsis.
Plot summary.
Oh my god, I pulled up a synopsis on fucking IMDb and I didn't scroll down. This thing is like fucking five paragraphs long. Let's go with the one you got.
Well, this one's still pretty long, but I'll try to summarize it. Med school student Kiefer Sutherland convinces his classmates to help him die so he can see what's beyond life, and basically brings all his med school student friends in to resuscitate him after he's been dead for a minute. He's doing it to be famous.
So
I believe.
Real quick, now you get to experience exactly what Goggs for. So, like, he's doing it, but, like, his motivation for doing this, like, did you feel this way? I feel like it wasn't really fleshed out. Like, they just kind of start doing it. And it's just, like, he kind of alludes to the fact that, like, he wants to make a great discovery, but, like, they don't really talk about it very much. Like, it's just,
After that first flatline, that whole plot device is like gone.
Yeah, it's gone completely.
They don't even talk about it. They're all just like, I want to do it next. So we got Kiefer Sutherland is the first one. Billy Baldwin is the second one. Kevin Bacon goes third. Julie Roberts goes fourth. And Oliver Platt, bless his heart, does not go at all.
Yeah.
Correct? He doesn't go.
He never goes, yeah.
But they all flatline for increasing amounts of time to push each other. So when Kiefer Sutherland flatlines, he sees his kid he bullied as a child.
You don't know this until like almost the end of the fucking movie though. Pretty close to it.
Billy Baldwin flatlines and he sees a bunch of sexy ladies in his flatline. Kevin Bacon flatlines and he gets picked on by a girl from his grade school. Julia Roberts flatlines and sees her dad killing himself, which is the most horrific of all of them.
Also, hers, like, I mean, hers out of all of them don't really make any sense because she didn't do anything wrong. Like, the other ones were like,
I thought that too. I was like, well, she doesn't need to atone for anything. The rest of them all did something.
Yeah.
And she's also just like thinking of seeing a sad moment in her life again.
Yeah. And like, what was she supposed to do? She was a child. Her dad was like a fucking PTSD, like heroin junkie. Like what is she supposed to do in that situation? Like it was very,
I never looked it up, but was her dad Elias Koteas?
It's who it looked like.
I didn't actually look it up.
I'll look it up.
So Kiefer Sutherland eventually starts getting physically beaten up by his mental bully who's dead.
Oh my god, this shit is so funny.
Like, he's getting the shit kicked out of him by an 8-year-old. The first time is hilarious. Because, like, he walks up to the kid, like, he doesn't recognize him, and he's acting like he's okay. The kid is full on, like, kicks him in the balls as hard as he can. And then falls down and proceeds to get the absolute shit kicked out of him.
Is that the scene, too, where he, like, spits on him, which is, like, really gross? That might be later.
I think it's the same one.
Some guy named Benjamin Mouton played her father. I don't know whoever that guy is.
Oh, well. Billy Baldwin, his vision was erotic, but he starts seeing all the women that he's, basically coerced into sex by any means necessary, and B, cheated on his fiance and filmed them without their knowledge behind her back.
Real destiny.
And they start showing up to him in real life. Kevin Bacon is taunted by a girl that he picked on when he was a child, and he picked on for no reason, I'm assuming, other than she was black.
They really, you know, what's funny about that scene is that they, you know, they're real heavily implying that, right? But they never say anything explicitly racist. Yeah,
they don't use any words that would imply it, but you get what they're going for. Like Kevin Bacon was like, he wasn't even in it. It was the kid version of him. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Julia Roberts keeps seeing her dad, who blew his brains out basically in front of her as a child.
Yeah.
And
he was like a Vietnam vet, because he has like an airborne tattoo. So again, it's implied, you know, PTSD, like, and he was on heroin. So, you know, not in the best place before he ended it all.
So they start trying to reconcile their visions. Billy Baldwin's fiance comes, discovers his stack of sex tapes, which he doesn't not even attempt to hide. He just has them like in a milk crate right next to his bed.
Also, this motherfucker's got a black and white TV to watch his black and white sex tapes on. I thought that shit was pretty fucking.
You think
funny.
They would cancel each other out? But after his fiance shows up, discovers the tapes, breaks up with him, and then he stops having the visions anymore. Like, he's paid his penance. Kevin Bacon goes and finds the adult version of the girl that he bullied. She
forgives him in a weird ass scene. Like, in one of the weirdest scenes that, like, I feel like the movie thinks it's like, I don't know, climactic, but it's such a like wet fart of a scene, because nothing really happened. She's just like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. I'm like old now. I don't give a shit.
And she's like, I don't even remember who you are.
Right. And then
I remember my middle school bully horrifically to this day.
It was Goggs.
It was not Goggs, but the kid the dude is dead now. He OD'd on heroin a year after he graduated. So
You won. Fuck that dude.
I still think of him sometimes and how awful middle school was because of it. Like, you don't forget the people who torment you in front of other people.
Yeah, like Goggs. That's how I feel about Goggs. But yeah. Like playing video games while you're doing a podcast, you know, when your buddies need you to do a podcast. Who does that?
Yeah. So Julia Roberts finally in her vision, she talks to her dad, who apologizes, and she's fixed.
Yeah.
After that.
And it's funny the way Alex putting it, but that really is like these like catharsis like revelations are just handled just like that. It's like up then that's over with and that's done. Like, there's nothing like,
it's like a kid writing a story, like, and then he was there and now everybody's here.
Right. There's no like kind of, I don't know, wider kind of like kind of echoes after these things are done. It's just like, yeah, that's finished. We're done. That's chapter.
There is no like nuance or subtlety either. No. It's just like, here you go. Here's what happens. It's like Homer Simpson writing a movie.
I was just about to say, it reminds me of that Simpsons. I forget what the episode it is, but it's like, okay, kids, let's go home. Dad, we are home. That was fast. It's like, you know, it's just like, it's so like everything's so punched out. And then the movie feels like it like struggles. It's like, oh shit, we need something like crazy up in the end. And then you get to the point you're about to get to where Keith or Sutherland's like, I need to be dead for like 20 minutes or whatever. And it's just.
Yeah. So everybody's kind of reconciled themselves except for Lucky Oliver Platt, who didn't go through with it and need to. He's really good in this movie. He might be the best.
He is really good
performance in this movie. In a movie of ham-fisted performances, he might be the actual best one.
I will say, as many problems there is with this movie, I don't think the acting is the problem. Like, I feel like these guys are all trying. It's just the material is so dumb. Like, it's just,
it is not great.
No.
So Kiefer Sutherland, while they're all off doing other things, decides he's just going to straight kill himself to go confront his bully, where he was actually the bully. And you get into his psyche and see that he actually bullied the kid to death. They actually show it. And it ended up killing his dog, too.
Yeah,
which luckily for Flatliners, that didn't happen early in the movie because I just sort of turned it off.
Right.
At this point, there's like 5 minutes left. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to finish it now. And then after like 20 minutes of being dead, they resuscitate Kiefer Sutherland. And he's good now, too. Everybody's good.
Fine.
Everybody's happy and well adjusted now.
Yeah, and like it's so frustrating, right? Because I don't know about you, but like I thought the way this movie was set up, one, I thought that they were gonna be like I thought that what they were setting up, especially from the beginning, when like Kiefer Sutherland's the first one to go under, when he comes back out, like he's like seeing visions and like the world looks all fucked up. I thought that they were gonna like carry something with them, right? Like besides their stupid, like, I have to make amends crap. But, like, that doesn't go. Again, that's another thing that just goes nowhere. Everything is resolved so cleanly. And another thing that really stuck in my crawl, as they say, really grinded my gears, is that this movie, like, has this weird thing in the very beginning. Again, so many things in this movie are touched on and then never talked about again. They make such a big deal in the beginning of the movie of Kevin Bacon being an atheist that I thought that was going to be some kind of through line in this movie. But the weird thing is this movie goes out of its way to be like, well, none of the shit that they experience is supernatural. It's all like in their own heads. I think that's like a huge cop out. And it's also kind of boring. Like it doesn't really do anything. It's just like, yeah, they just kind of hallucinated stuff in their own heads. Like that's it. That's all. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just boring.
And that's really the entire movie.
Yeah, that's
There's
it.
There's not a... It really doesn't have a soundtrack, which I was shocked at.
The music
for
choices
a movie
in this...
From this time, I'm
the
shocked
music
it
choices
didn't have...
in this are bonkers, though. Like, the score to this movie is fucking insane. Like, it's not
it
in
starts
a good
off,
way.
Like, you would think it started off as, like, some kind of Baroque,
yeah,
romantic church... like drama.
It's just shots of
like statues and gargoyles of like angels and demons, and
oh yeah,
there's like quick cuts and like this music is playing like crazy bonkers like intense classical music.
Yeah,
but like that is not the aura of the movie at all.
If anything, I feel like
Joel Schumacher is out of his mind.
He's insane. But I think, like, honestly, I think he was bored by this material. So, like, all the I will give him credit. Like, all the set design in this movie is great. And the, like, the hospital is, like, the weirdest looking hospital I've ever seen in a movie. Like, the hospital makes no sense. Like, that opening sequence looks so fucking weird because all the hallways are, like, black and, like, the gurney is fucking weird. Like, when the movie started off, I was like, okay, like this is fucking cool. Like everything looks strange in this movie. Like even the way he shoots like the hallways and the alleyways and stuff is super weird and like very stagey, but it like looks cool. And the room that they they perform where they die looks really fucking cool. And there's one scene, I think it's when Julia Roberts goes under, but it's like Halloween, and there's like weird people with their tits out in front of this building for some reason, because that's what they're doing Halloween, big, I guess.
Masks, big, huge mask covering their face and no shirts.
Yeah, and huge tits. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it was, even that was like cool. Like, there also one of the few like songs in the movie too. I don't know what the hell that song was, but it was a very weird song, kind of out of nowhere, because there's no other like regular music in this movie except for that. But like, visually, this movie is very interesting, but like, it doesn't gel with the fucking milquetoast ass fucking rest of the movie, like, at all. It's like he directed a different movie. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. For a movie with such, I don't know, material, or like,
yeah, oh yeah,
it's really boring.
It's so boring, dude. It's like, so fucking boring. It's just like, and it's just meandering. And again, it's because like it takes too long for them to get to the fucking like dying part. And then when you get to the dying part, that's not interesting either. Cause it's like, yeah. I was expecting the dying part to at least be like, okay, this is kind of weird and trippy and scary. And it's like, no, it's just a little kid beating up Kiefer Sutherland. It's a black girl getting yelled at in the, on a school, like in a playground, like, okay. Like I don't know. And like the ultimate storyline is like, oh, you have to like resolve things in your past to like feel better about yourself. Okay. Is that some kind of profound like meditation on life? Like, okay, great. Like, I don't really care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not like interesting at all. Like, it's like, okay, like at least make it like, I don't know, fucking go crazy. Make it about like demons and hell and shit. Like, do something. Like, I don't know. You gotta give me something. Like, you know me, I famously like hate when they bring in like religious crap in a movie that doesn't need it, but this movie fucking needs it badly. Like this one.
Yeah, this movie needs the end of days treatment.
Well, yeah, and like there's a part in the movie, again, notice the theme of something that's touched on and never really brought up again. But like Julia Roberts is like she's at this bedside of this like old woman that's dying, and then like she died, like Julia Roberts dies and comes back to life, and she's like, I want to tell her that it's not good in the afterlife. It's like, based on what? Like your memory? Like, you did nothing really happen to you. You're fine. Like,
and how does that benefit anybody?
Right.
Then you got a crazy, old lady who's like freaking out about dying very soon.
Yeah, don't die, lady. Don't die. It sucks. Shit. Oh,
you're only 95 in hospice care. Like, just keep going. Hold on.
Sucks to suck, deuces. I don't know, yeah. Man.
No, this movie's
it's a mess.
Movie is ridiculous.
Before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles, I want to briefly bring up they made a what I thought was a remake of this movie in the early 2000s with.
It wasn't early. It was 2017. It was 20, like 8 years ago.
In the mid to late 2000s with. Is it improper to use their original name if they hadn't transitioned first? Or I don't know. Ethan Page.
Well,
I don't know. I'm trying to be polite.
Who?
Ethan Page. Or Elliot Page.
Oh. I was like, Ethan Page? I don't know.
Ethan Page is a wrestler. I'm sorry. Okay. Elliot Page. Elliot Page is in the remake. Pre-transition, so I don't know. Don't cancel me,
please. I think Kiefer Sutherland's in that too.
He is, and here's the funny. I didn't watch it. I just read the Wikipedia article. So apparently, he's in this remake slash sequel, but it's revealed in a deleted scene that he's actually the same character as in the original movie. So that makes it a sequel and not a remake.
Ah, nice.
How stupid.
But yeah, the audience wouldn't know that because they deleted the scene.
They deleted the scene, so it was that important to the story. Anyway, let's get into Five Knuckle Shuffles. This movie is kind of a mess. I kind of have a feeling I know where this is going. Also, John Cena should have won the Rumble. I'm going to say it, but
I'm fine with an Uso winning it. At least it was somebody different.
I just have a hard time. Just... Yeah, I get that too. But I have a hard time with Jey Uso main eventing WrestleMania. I don't know. That doesn't.
Yeah, well, stop being racist. Kofi Kingston did it. And Kofi Mania, who would have thought about him main eventing WrestleMania?
But Kofi, I really like Kofi. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have the Jimmy or whichever Uso it is not.
You can't. You don't even know the
charisma of Kofi Kingston.
You don't even know the Uso you're talking about. Also, it's.
I mean, nobody has the charisma of Kofi Kingston except for Xavier Woods.
That is true. It's also seen as like last WrestleMania. It'd be kind of cool to have him mainline. Well, he says he'll come back. Never mind. It's wrestling. They always, this is my final match.
The Undertaker retired 10 years ago, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Until Vince or Triple H throws $1 million at him for a 30-second spot.
Also, maybe it's just because I haven't watched WWE in a long time, but I thought that pay-per-view was very boring. I like couldn't stay interested in it. I don't know. But it's probably more because I don't follow it anymore. So.
Yeah, and it was only four matches, right? It was just the two Rumbles and two title matches who gives a fuck because it's not WrestleMania.
The Kevin Owens Cody match was pretty good, though, I have to say. But those two, like, I love Kevin Owens, so that was probably more on him than anything.
Kevin Owens is tremendous. Cody,
of course, he didn't fucking win, but of course.
He has won exactly one time in his career.
Yeah.
But, and then he gets hosed. Even though Triple H loves him so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, five knuckle shuffle time. Alec.
Jesus. I don't know. I'm torn between a 5 and a 2.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I'm exactly that same place.
I'm going to say a 5. It is immediately forgettable. Yeah. Like, I remembered this movie from being a kid and some of the scenes in it. But after seeing it this time and realizing how pointless it was, like, I'm going to forget this almost immediately.
Yeah.
This movie is trash.
It's real bad.
It's just so fucking boring. Like, I expect when they got to the, like, dying almost immediately, I was like, oh, a lot of stuff's going to happen.
Yep. Nope.
But literally four things happen through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's it. Four things. And that's it. And it's just tedious and fucking boring as piss.
Yeah, tedious is the right fucking word, dude. It is tedious.
Yeah, I was so bored. And I feel like, I don't know this for a fact, maybe it's just because I've heard of this movie a lot from when I was a kid. I feel like this movie has almost like a cult following. I could be wrong.
I mean, you're not wrong, because I remember people liking this movie. So, like, I mean, I there must have been some kind of following, dude, because they made the remake. You know what I mean? Somebody is looking for this fucking movie.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher, yet another miss.
Yeah, this one was pretty rough. Not as bad as the number 23, but pretty rough.
I mean, that was like a perfect storm of awfulness.
Yeah, that movie.
Jim Carrey in a scary role, which is not.
Yeah,
he's going to be in a scary role, it needs to be something like 1 hour photo, not like a menacing scary role.
That's a good ass movie.
TJ.
It's also, I agree with you completely. It's a 5 for me, dog. It's like, I kind of want to give this movie credit for like some of the, like I said, I really like the sets. And I liked a lot of the way it was shot, but overall, it's just like watching paint dry. I mean, it's so fucking bland. And like, I was struggling to pay attention to this movie. Like, I try so hard when I watch movies for the show, I try to plug my phone in and just put it somewhere away from me. So I resist the urge to constantly just doom scroll. I couldn't do it. Like, I was like, this is so fucking boring. And, like, again, the thing that kills me the most about this movie is it's got so much fucking potential. It's got an interesting premise. Like, I think the premise is interesting. It's got...
Oh, the premise is very interesting. It's different.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And it's fertile ground for a, like, psychological horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, the mysteries of death and then, like, you can have like cool visions of death or whatever. Like I said, it could be like a, I thought it was going to be more like a Final Destination thing where like death kind of like follows them, but that didn't happen. It's got a great cast. I mean, all these people can act. Like, I mean, I there's something like, even in this movie, like I'm a big Kiefer Sutherland fan. I don't, there's something like very like charismatic about him. And I've always liked him. Like I love him in, of course, in Dark City, in Young Guns.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I've always liked Kiefer Sutherland a lot, especially this era of him. There's just something about him. And man, he's trying in this movie, but like, it's so fucking dull. It's just, this movie deserved better. Like, it deserved a better script. Like, I kind of want like the David Cronenberg version of this movie, or like, give it to somebody fucking weird. Give it to the guy that made fucking Jacob's Ladder. Like, I want the Jacob's Ladder version of this movie. Like, because as it stands, it's just so fucking flat. It just goes nowhere. So yeah, it's a 5, man. I'm not gonna think about this movie ever again. I'm shocked that people remember this movie fondly, to be honest with you.
If it was an Irish step dancer, it'd be Michael Flatley.
Nice. So what are we watching next week, Alec?
And who
the thread? I know, but for the
thread, you can take your pick. Either Oliver Platt or Kiefer Sutherland, because we are watching a movie that I remember thinking was a ton of fun.
I remember loving
We'll see if it holds up. I hope it does.
Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie?
You're thinking of The Man in the Iron Mask.
I am thinking of The Man in the Iron Mask.
This movie has Kiefer Sutherland, Oliver Platt, and Charlie Sheen are the Three Musketeers. And then O'Donnell plays D'Artagnan. But none of them have accents. They all look Kevin Costner.
Yeah,
Kevin Costner and Robin Hood their way through it.
I can't wait to watch this. Yeah, I remember loving this movie as a kid. So I'm looking forward to this one. So.
Yeah, all right. I can't wait.
Next week, the movie Spiral continues. The movie Spiderweb, I guess, would be a more
apt term. Into the movie-verse.
Into the movie-verse, the movie multiverse. So yeah, next week, we'll see who shows up on the show. It's hard to say.
I should be here.
Me and Alec will probably be here. But anyway... we'll talk to you next week, and you know what to do. Eat your own ass, and get that passport updated, because we'll all probably have to leave this country soon. So,
oh, I got mine updated. I got my global. Well, I don't have global entry. I need to work on that.
I need somebody to give me some global entry. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Sex havers over here. All righty. Bye, everybody.
Later, dudes.